Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby, filling in for Virginia Prescott. In 1971, Coca-Cola launched their now famous I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing campaign. It was an effort to tie their brand to peace, goodwill, and consistency at a time when American consumers were inundated with daily images from Vietnam and news of civil discontent from around the country. The real Coke is still the best-selling soft drink in the world, and people still ask for it by name. But nowadays, people also call it by another, Mexican Coke. Once a rarity on supermarket shelves, Mexican Coke is now showing up all across America, from hipster bars and bodegas in Los Angeles to New England Costco shelves. But is the beverage, made with cane sugar and sold in the classic contoured glass bottle, really more authentic than the American brew, made with high-fructose corn syrup and cased in plastic? Journalist Anne Glusker wrote about the complicated past of Mexican Coke for Smithsonian.com. Here she is, speaking with Virginia Prescott.
Is it just the sweetener and the bottle that distinguishes the American and Mexican Coke?
Exactly. It's just a question of what the sweetener is. And a lot of what my piece was about for Smithsonian was about that there's this sort of false idea, I think, out there in some parts of the food world that high fructose corn syrup is evil and sugar is better because it's quote unquote natural.
That's not true?
No, it's actually not. It's a myth. Jane Brody in the New York Times has written a lot about this. I myself, when I'm shopping for my kid, I steer well clear of anything with high fructose corn syrup in it. So I don't want to pretend that I'm a fan of high fructose corn syrup, but it's just there's this myth that sugar is better for you. It's really just any sweetener, you know, that's bad for you. There's a guy named Robert Lustig out at the University of California, San Francisco School of Medicine, who's sort of the country's leading expert on childhood obesity. And he calls high fructose corn syrup the most demonized additive known to man. I would rather have something with sugar than a chemical, but it's not that sugar is so fantastic.
Well, so do all those who are attracted to Mexican Coke. Who is drinking Mexican Coke?
Well, I think it's a combination. I first became aware of it personally when I was living in downtown New York and, you know, it was sort of a hipster drink. You know, you go into places and there'd maybe be hand-squeezed pineapple raspberry juice and nothing chemically, and then there'd be Mexican Coke. This fairly well-known sort of pan-Asian chef named David Chang, who runs the Momofuku Noodle Bar, which is sort of a cool fusion-y place in downtown New York. He started serving Mexican Coke and caused this big explosion in the Twitter sphere because he was charging $5 a bottle or a serving or whatever it was. And so people thought that was a lot of money, but it was not widely available here when he started serving it. And so it was expensive. Now you can actually get Mexican Coke at Costco. So I think hipsters are part of who drinks Mexican Coke, but then I, you know, have a neighbor who loves it and swears by it and swears that she can taste the difference. Consumer Reports did a really interesting thing where they sort of tried to do blind taste tests and lots of people couldn't really tell. But my neighbor, after I published that piece, went on Facebook to tell me that Mexican Coke has a decidedly different mouthfeel. Mouthfeel being the sort of technical foodie word for, you know, when you taste chocolates, you know, you always talk about the mouthfeel. I'm a food person, so I sort of am familiar with that word. But when she used it, I just laughed to myself.
Well, okay, maybe the mouthfeel is different, but is American Coke with this much maligned high fructose corn syrup better or worse ethically than Mexican Coke?
Right. This article came about in relation to a Smithsonian exhibition called American Enterprise. And the curator of that exhibition, he's the one who really has some interesting thoughts on the difference in how these two substances are produced. So his point is not that it's the high fructose corn syrup that's bad ethically, but it's the sugar, interestingly, because he's saying high fructose corn syrup is produced in American factories that are worked by unionized workers who make it a living wage and, you know, are subject to all the United States OSHA, you know, the health regulations, et cetera. And that in Mexico, the sugar and agricultural industries are still pretty 19th century. It's what he calls a debt peonage system, you know, what we might have had in the U.S. after the Civil War, sharecroppers, where you're, in theory, free and working on your own, right? But you're always trying to pay off the rent on your little bit of land. So Peter Liebold, this curator at the Smithsonian, makes the point that it's not just a question of what you're putting in your mouth, you know, if you prefer quote unquote natural sugar to high fructose corn syrup, but that ethically, in terms of the workers who are growing it or producing it, depending on whether you're talking about the natural thing or the chemical, that, you know, they're just subject to very different kinds of working conditions, which I thought was fascinating. And honestly, I hadn't thought about until he made that point.
Right. In addition to labor, Mexican coke is now mired in a complicated international trade situation. Now, what is going on?
Well, this is over now, but it's been going on for about the last 10 years. It seems what happened is that Mexico, like many sugar producing countries, is trying to protect its sugar industry. I mean, this, of course, goes on with many industries, right? But so they were trying to protect their sugar industry, and they wanted candy makers, sweet makers, soda bottlers, not just Coke, to use sugar. That would be a way of protecting and bolstering their industry. But Coke bottlers and all these other sweets manufacturers, right, were starting to use high fructose corn syrup, less expensive, et cetera. So what Mexico wanted to do was place a tariff on the importation of high fructose corn syrup so that, you know, to discourage manufacturers from using it. The U.S. and Mexico then went before the World Trade Organization, the WTO, which is an international body, and they ruled actually that Mexico couldn't do that. So this has been going on. My guess is it'll bubble up again. This is probably just a continuing war. Because I'm a food person, I'm much more interested in the taste. You know, whenever I see that Hecho en Mexico, you know, sign on the thing, which means made in Mexico, you know, my little ears perk up. And I think many food people's ears perk up too, because they think, oh, you know, it's more authentic. It's more real. The real thing is more real when it's made in Mexico.
Well, the real thing, Coke and other sweet soft drinks, have been blamed, or at least in part, for the obesity epidemic in the United States. And the New York Times Well blog recently wrote about Coca-Cola funding research that concluded that it is exercise, not diet, that's a key factor in obesity. Should we take Coke's word on nutrition?
No, we definitely should not. This organization, this new supposedly health organization called the Global Energy Balance Network, turns out to be funded by Coke, as the New York Times has revealed. And what they say is that exercise is the key to sort of a healthy weight level, not calories, not what you eat, which is just patently ridiculous. And that just clears the way for guilt-free eating of sugary foods and drinking of sugary drinks. So, of course, that's to Coke's benefit. And that's just not, that's the science doesn't bear that out. I mean, of course, many of us who are aware of health and nutrition and exercise know that, you know, we should do both.
How about you? Have you tried Mexican Coke?
Oh, yeah. I had Mexican Coke long ago when I was living in downtown New York, and it was sort of starting to appear, you know, in these sort of hipster cafe menus. And although I'm not a soda drinker, I grew up in a household with, you know, no soda, all that. My mother was very healthy. She had many other faults, but she was very healthy. And I'd see them in these sort of, you know, hip downtown New York restaurants, and I finally thought, I'll try it. And I do agree with my neighbor. I think that you could taste the difference, the mouthfeel. Although, if you did a scientific double-blind test and asked me to differentiate between, you know, Diet Coke, Zero Coke, Mexican Coke, I'm not sure I could do it.
If not just the taste, you propose that Mexican Coke's appeal might be more ideological. Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, not so much ideological, but I think there's a feeling sort of in some parts of the food world and some parts of the population in general, some younger people, a feeling that, you know, people want authenticity, whatever. And I'm saying authenticity in quotes, right? People want what's real. Not just because Coke calls itself the real thing, but in general, you know, that we want to move back to the land, or we want to try to go off the grid, or we want to raise our own chickens. I think there are people who just feel something that is, you know, Hecho en Mexico is going to be better, realer, more authentic than something made in a factory somewhere in the United States.
That was Virginia Prescott speaking with journalist Ann Glusker, who wrote about Mexican Coke for Smithsonian.com. You'll find a link to her article and more on the American Enterprise exhibition at the Smithsonian, which features Mexican Coke. All that at wordofmouthradio.org.